welcome to the Women's Soccer Coaching Podcast. This is where we take a deep dive into the challenges and opportunities faced by those who coach in the women's game. I'm Steph Fairbairn, and I'll introduce our special guest in just a moment. This podcast accompanies the October issue of Women's Soccer Coaching Magazine, which is available to subscribers right now. We've got the usual practice plans in there, a three-part session on creating and converting from Abigail Ingram, and a Halloween-themed practice from Ed Jackson Norris, alongside a session from Beth Smith, which she provides with an article on some key principles she learned on the UEFA B course. Elsewhere, Eloise Hope writes about her experience of learning from other coaches, Beth Toy provides advice on getting girls to watch more football, Kate Cooper discusses the importance of empowering female players to value being impact players, and Cassie Gray from organisation Female Footballers shares insight into a mentorship programme run for young players. Our main interview is with Carolina Marace, head coach of London City Lionesses in England's Women's Championship, and she's also our podcast guest. I caught up with her to hear about her first couple of months in the role, what made her take it on, and how she's going about getting the team she's built to play her way. Carolina, welcome to the Women's Soccer Coaching Podcast.
Thank you.
So you were appointed first team head coach of London City Lionesses in July. What was it that made you want to take on the project?
First of all, I think that the women football here in England is the best in the world. And I think that what England achieved in the last 15 years is something amazing for global women football, because it was a big and right project to develop players, to develop the game, and until you arrive to be champions in Europe and to be vice champion in the world. So that is an amazing achievement for the English football. And that is what pushed me to come here. And I think also to be an independent club here in England, it means that, you know, sometimes it's great to have the men's club behind of us, but sometimes, and that is what happened above all in Italy, there is no equal treatment in between men's and women. Sometimes that is a huge mistake. The men's side, the men's club put the women team in the same level of youth team, or maybe sometime also below, and that is completely wrong. That doesn't happen in with an independent club. So that was what was explained to me, what I think about the club. So I like the project, and it's also, you know, we can find a sponsor that give us 5 million. So we don't have the men's club that said, okay, for the women, so we spend 3, 4 to 10 million. No, is we can have a sponsor that give us as much as possible, as much we need.
So what have the past couple of months looked like in terms of moving to a new country, adapting to the culture and settling in?
Actually, I start my job 21 August because I could have my visa just at that time. And it's tomorrow, it's 1 month, no more. And that is, I didn't have a lot of time to go around. It's also true that I am a good friend of Hope Powell, so it's not the first time that I came here and I watched the women's football. And And of course, I know that in terms of football, English people are passionate like Italian people. So I like also, of course, to be involved in this culture. Yes, we are is two different culture, but is also I already coach. Three national teams, so Italian national team, Canadian national team, and the Trinidad and Tobago national team. So I know perfectly that I have to adapt myself here. It's absolutely no opposite. So I'm aware on that. And so generally, I'm a person that I like to study, I like to read, and I'm very open to, and I'm very happy to be part and to know and to meet a different culture.
What about with working with the team then? What has your priority been over the past month coming in and working with the team?
So again, it was just one month. And also when we arrive, we didn't do the pre-season, and that is and we start with a big handicap because, of course, the pre-season is 6 weeks, is very important to build up a relationship, to understand the player and to show the player the way that you want to play. So what I found is for sure dedicated players. They want to learn. They like also to be coached in a different style, and that give me a lot of gratification, and also that make my work easy. Until now is important to keep going to build up our team in that way. You have just to think that the last player arrived last week. So it's just, and for the lack of time that we work together, I think that we already start to play in a different way, and is exactly what the people that watch our game start to say, that we play in a different way. So maybe I can ask the player to kick along the ball, but I'm sorry, it's not my style. And I think also that the player deserve more. And to kick along the ball doesn't help also to grow for our sport. And it's not my philosophy, my methodology is something I don't believe it. Maybe it for sure is the easiest way, but I don't think it's the best way to build up the game and to give the game an approach and a good approach also for the fan that come to watch the game, the women football.
So you're saying you've moved to a more possession-based style. Did that come naturally to the players, and how have you been working on that?
That is natural for all players. Technically, is doesn't have to be an excuse for the coaches that there is no technique, because the technique, the talented of the player is clear. It's about our coaches to bring that from the players and to present exercise training session that help them to improve their technique, and at the same time to read in a right way the game. But it's our responsibility. For the players, what can I say is that they are more than happy to play in that way. Also because they start to understand why we do something and how we have to do something. It's not just to play ball possession, it's more. Because, you know, now the ball possession is not as important statistic like 10 years ago. Because there are teams that play, for example, Liverpool or Klopp, they play vertical, they play more vertical, it is an effective and beautiful game too. So it's just maybe to build up the game from the back, to recognize the free player and to who you have to play, the free player, the free teammate that can receive the ball. And is more also to be a modern player. So that is today, modern players means thinking players. As a coach, I have to give them more than one solution. But as a player, they have to pick up as fast as possible the right one. And that is something that allow them to be also more active, proactive. We don't do, I'm a forward, so I just have to do one phase and the defender has to do the other phase. No, now modern football is, you have to know all phases. And above all, for example, the central back, that is central back and the goalkeeper, that are the role that change most in the last years, they have to be able to build up the game, to understand, to have a vision. So the central back, they became now in ball possession like a number central midfielder. So, and the player like that because is more thinking and is more challenges also for them.
And you mentioned all of the new players that have come in, a lot of new signings. What have you got them to buy into? How have you convinced them about the project?
That was, I have to say, that was easy. I don't know, that was because maybe they chat and they know who I am. Because, you know, to play at a certain level, of course, allowed you to understand better the environment. It's not that you are a better coach, absolutely not. To become a better coach, you have just to study and have a look at matches. But is like they understood that I come from where they come. I know what does it mean to feel the pressure. I know what does it mean to play an important game. I know what does it mean to lost a game and to restart again. So I think that that was an aspect that was maybe they were more open to accept what I will tell in them. And it was also that I do my presentation with my assistant coach, and my assistant, she's English, but we met 10 years ago. It's 10 years that we work together, and she was a coach before in Australia. And so we present our style to coach, our methodology, what I think about the team, what we do. I think also that they like a lot what we do at the field. I don't like it to present same session every week, but also maybe I can repeat one session every 4 months. Is I repeat the first, but is never the same. So sometimes the player arrive at the field and they know exactly what they have to do Monday, what they have to do Tuesday, what they have to do Wednesday. With us, it's not like that. They know that there is always something new to learn and something new exercise to be part. So I think that was, I think that convinced them. Also because three of them, they said immediately, I mean, without to discuss, because they didn't discuss with us about the money, of course, but before to discuss about the money, they say to us, I like that, I'm in. So, and for us, it was a big gratification. Also because maybe, of course, I watch them and I pick up something that maybe nobody tell them. And I was able to say to them, I think that maybe your position could be more closer to the net. And they say, oh, why do you say that? And I say, because I saw you to play. I can see that. It's not that Oh, of course. Or maybe one player, I said, yeah, for you is the same to play central back left or right, but your favorite is to play in one side because I saw that you do this. And they were surprised that we can recognize that. So I think that that made some difference and pushed them in their decisions.
And in terms of your planning and strategy, how far ahead are you looking? Have you built the squad with the longer term in mind, or is it more about the immediate aim of getting promotion to the WSL?
But no, it's when you start from when we arrived, we had just the 3 players. So wasn't the team, the beautiful team that I saw play last year, was completely different team. So again, we start with the 3 players and we try to do our best. But if you think that is even 1 month that I'm here, we are doing the pre-season now in terms of physicality, of the physical program, and also in terms of to understand what we want. So what we ask is their maximum. Their maximum could be to arrive first, but I know is a difficult, the championship is a very difficult league because many teams want to be promoted and many teams playing a good football. So we know that is difficult, but again, I will ask their maximum and we will give them our maximum. I don't know what does it mean, the maximum could be everything.
And you have high standards from your playing days and also from your time in coaching. How do you make sure that your standards are understood and taken on by your players?
Because now we start when we played, I start to call a player and the player at the field, she does this. That means I understood. Before I start to speak, they know what I'm saying just at that moment because maybe they didn't have the right posture or they didn't play or maybe they didn't switch the ball. And they already knows that they say they do that. It means, and for me, that means, okay, I don't need to add anything. It's just that you have to automatize the movement. But I'm happy because, again, I saw the players that are very commitment to do, to please us. And that is good, very good.
And is there a language barrier when working with the players? And if so, how are you going to overcome that? Or has it been all right so far?
No, for now is everything is okay. Also because the language at the field is the same everywhere. And also because generally the theory is always joined with the practical session. So that is important. And also to have my assistant that is English and she knew all players. That was an advantage. But I was also curious to know how the other Italian coaches speak in English. And I am okay. I can say that. No, I don't have the best English. And sometimes I tease on myself because I tell to the player, how did you understand that? I didn't understand myself. But it's just... And they understood me, absolutely, yes.
So a different topic then. You've been appointed to the UEFA Football Board. Can you tell us a bit more about your role in that and what changes you think we really need to see in the women's game?
The board practically is a board former players, actual players, coaches, referees, is just we talk about the rules of the game, medical staff, what we could be better, for example, the competition, how maybe echo the international break and how we have to do to respect, of course, the player that maybe they have long travel in Australia or New Zealand and they come back and they have to play. So is all this stuff to promote our game and to get better in some aspect. In what I what was my proposal was also that we have also to talk about the tactics, because the new football that I can see from coaches like Guardiola, gegenpressing with the Klopp, or De Zerbi style. So is something that I cannot see in women football. And that is something, in my opinion, that we miss, because we have to arrive there, because that is why people and fans love football, because it's beautiful football. And it's exactly where we want, where I think that we have to arrive. It's not to copy the men's, it's like to study more, to be more aware than football, then more aware about the evolution of football.
So when the Lionesses announced your appointment, they called you a legend. You're called a legend a lot in this game. Does that come with some pressure, being known as a legend in the game? And if so, how do you manage that?
First of all, I never feel that I'm a legend. I never feel that. That is number one thing. Second, if I am a legend, maybe I am a legend because I'm the only player in between men and women that score 4 goals in Wembley. That is why they call, I think that is why they call me a legend. But was when I was a player, so it was many years ago. And I think that in football, you don't have to have a look in your past. Yeah, to have a look in forward. And it's something that is football change all the time. What I have to do is study all the time, yes. I'm a person that I watch a lot of football. I study a lot of football. And I come from the Italian coach school where they teach us a lot of details. And I think that the details is something that you have to be always aware. You have to, but if you don't study, you cannot arrive at that level. So to be a legend, again, is not something that I care too much. If you come in my house in Rome, I have just one trophy that is the one where I was inducted in Hall of Fame, but it's because the trophy is beautiful, not for other reason. Just for this, it's something okay, but it's all part of the past. I look forward.
Final question then, because we have coaches listening to this at grassroots, coaches at professional level. What's the greatest lesson you've learned over your time coaching?
That, first of all, you keep going to learn every day something. And if you have the passion to study all the time is a good thing. But I think also that it's very important to create a relationship with a player inside the field and outside the field. Unfortunately, as a female coach, we are always a judge about our gender. We are never judge about I am different with other coaches. I'm no better, I'm no worse, I'm just different. And so that is something that is a disadvantage as a female coach. But I think, again, that is important to create a relationship. I'm no coach that I try to be a leader for my players. To be a leader means that I don't have to show my authority Of course, I'm a coach and I have my authority come from my role. So I don't have to show them that I'm tough and I speak and I stay like that. No, I don't believe all of this stuff. I think that if you work in a good way and you prepare in a good way your match Sunday, I'm relaxed. I don't arrive in a meeting, technical meeting that I'm nervous. I'm okay because I already prepare the match, not the day before, the week before. Every day was a preparation of my match. And if I do in a good way my job, I'm okay. So that is also something that we transfer to the players, because they are not nervous and they know that I'm not there to judge them. You are out, you are in. No, I'm here to help you to improve, because our aim is bigger. It's not about me. It's not about the individual players. It's about the team. It's about the club. It's about what we represent.
That was the voice of Carolina Morace, London City Lionesses head coach. Thanks to Carolina for her time and best of luck for the season. And thanks to you for listening to the Women's Soccer Coaching Podcast. Don't forget, the October issue of Women's Soccer Coaching is available now to subscribers. Visit womenssoccercoaching.com to subscribe. I'm Steph Fairbairn. Thanks again for listening to the Women's Soccer Coaching Podcast.